We want to start reading here, starting at Romans chapter 8. Now, I have been teaching on this topic before. This was a topic called Manifesting the Sons of God. And I had been teaching on that. And we left off that teaching with vengeance and recompense, or part of that teaching. And I didn't feel like I was done with that topic, so I came back and began to teach Vengeance and Recompense, Part 2. So this is, like I said, it's a message for grown folk. And this is something that is very, very much needed in the church. And as I get into it, you'll see why. And in most cases, many cases, because we haven't preached vengeance, then we have still been victims. And God is now getting all of that behind us so that we will get to our destiny that God had planned for us. And everything that's been hindering us is now being put down. Well, I'm going to start reading here Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when?
Now.
Until now. All right, first, I want to do a little bit of discovery and a little bit of the going back and reviewing a little of what we said. We said basically that this is the finest hour of the church, that God has truly saved the best for last. Over in Ecclesiastes, I think, he says that that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Also, he says over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40, we talked about that, that God has reserved better things for us. Glory to God. So all I need is two witnesses, and I'm off and running right there. Now, as we look at this, we said also that this whole idea of being led by the Spirit of God is a idea that they that are led by the Spirit of God as sons of God is an idea of maturity. It's not sons has nothing to do there right there with gender. It's talking about the state of a person, state of growth, and that the state of growth is mature. That person who's led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, when we're talking about sons of God, let's come back, if you will, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. All right. They told Daniel, they said, Daniel, they made a law that you can't pray. Made a law that you can't pray to any other god except the god of Nebuchadnezzar or Darius or whoever it was. What did Daniel do? he went right out up in that room, got before God, and began to pray. He opened his window. He didn't care whether they saw him or not. You know why? Because they were violating the laws of his God. I'm telling you, his justice got to come back in the land. I said it's got to come first in the church. And then the church has got to come spread to the nations of the earth. Say amen to that. Nobody can tell you you can't pray. Where did that come from? I'm saying that things, laws that have been on the books are about to be reversed. Because we got some people that, because you understand vengeance and every place you lay the soles of your foot, you know the Holy Ghost is right there shielding you. You're going to be bold as a six shooter. You're going to say things that need to be said. I don't care if it's a congressman. I don't care if it's a businessman, whoever it is. You're going to say what needs to be said, because you are going to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a seat. See, what's up with that? When you can't even go to the court. The court is outlawing prayer. I was asking about a school last night. I was going to our school and asking about a certain high school. I said it's terrible. That it is terrible. I told you about Detroit. Just came from there. Terrible. Kids can't read, can't write, let alone add. And I'm telling you, something's wrong with the system. What's wrong with the system? Somebody needs new leadership. Please, please stay here with me, because this is not a message of hate.
No.
This is a message of justice. Everything, you get poverty and you should see what comes from it. Disease on one side and all kinds of other stuff on another. That's what happened with poverty. Wherever you go, one of the prime things that we're supposed to do as kingdom citizens is eliminate systemic poverty. They put that money, that set that stuff down there in Haiti, and the people couldn't even get it. People down there right now, poor as dirt. Matter of fact, there was an article in New Yorker, the newspaper, where they were eating mud. Now, wait a minute now. I know that don't bother you sitting up in here, but it should. Should come to a place where you say enough is enough. You can't pay people not to grow food and these people starve. How do you do that? How do you justify that? Now, I'm only saying that not to come down on people. It's the system. The devil comes to steal, come on, to kill, and to destroy. This is our time. Moses could not go before Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, would you please? He needed vengeance. Because he told him before he got there, Pharaoh ain't going to let him go. So just get that out of your mind. They're not going to change their ways. So God's going to have to execute some judgment. Folks, when you get a revelation of this and see some of the things that are wrong, it was never meant that people be in such debt because they went and got an education. You got to see it, man. It's all coming from an unjust system. And once you wake up to it, you say, whoa, wait a minute here. Remember what I said. Whatever is revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. Let me ask y'all something. Did you get something out of what I said? We got a whole generation of young people that don't believe in this system. Especially the inner city kids. They don't believe in it. They don't believe no policeman is out to protect them. They believe that policeman is out to get them by themselves so he can beat them. You better hear what I'm telling you. In Proverbs chapter 20, we saw that this is a scripture describing how we are to live and walk in this earth. In verse 27, it says this: "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It simply means that God is going to use your spirit to guide you. He's going to use your spirit to guide you. Now, notice what he's doing. In Joel chapter 2, he says that God will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten. Remember that? So we're talking about restoration here. And over in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you remember what happened when the enemy had come down while David and his soldiers were away, and they had taken the children and taken all the goods and so forth. And then the soldiers and David came back and they wept there at Ziklag. And they said, "Oh my goodness, what's going to happen?" So David then got his the ephod and put it on, went before God, so forth and so on. But God told him, pursue, overtake, and recover all. And what we said is when you're talking about restoration, you're talking about in God, you're talking about making something better than it was the first time. That there is a restoration coming for the people of God. And that God is going to do something for us that is going to bring us back up better than it was at the first. Now, at the first to me means Adam. Now, that's kind of deep here. I'm going off the deep end here now. But there is something here that God is going to do. Now, I don't know what all that is, but I'm just letting you know what's coming into my spirit and speaking. Now, Job, as you remember, Job had a problem where the enemy closed in on him. He lost everything, his family, everything. But notice God brought that back, and it brought it back to Job had twice as much as he had the first time. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? All right. So notice, better than it was at the first. How about the man Naaman, who is in 2 Kings chapter 5? Naaman was a Syrian army soldier, but he was a great captain, but he had leprosy. So he's trying to get rid of that and got the word to go down to this place where the prophet was and go see the prophet. So he got some things and went down there to the prophet, and he and all his soldiers, or at least some of the soldiers. And the prophet sent a word out by his servant Gehazi. I said, go tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And then he began to, when he told him that, the Syrian army captain was a great man, he got a little insulted. He said, well, he could at least told me to go dip in the rivers of Parfar or one of the clean rivers. Why didn't he tell me to go dip in this muddy Jordan, you know? And he got mad and rode away. And that's why some folk don't get healing, because of pride. Just pride can do what God tell them to do. Or so what happened is that the servant said that was with him said, listen, master, if he had told you to do something great, would not you have done it? Here again, trying to be great, trying to let everybody see how great I am. That's not the idea with God. We're trying to let people see how great he is, how great thou art, how great thou art. Well, I don't know why I'm on that today. Okay. Okay, so as a result of that, he He turned, he went and dipped in the river seven times, River Jordan, and came up. And the Bible says his skin became that of a newborn baby. So his skin just didn't come back like the other skin. It came back better. Say amen to this. So what am I saying? We saw something in here in the scriptures that we saw. Whatever is revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. Let's go over there. That's Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter 13. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 13. Let me know when you get there. Hello? Look at Genesis chapter 13, and let's look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes, look on the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. All right? So, what you see, you will get. In other words, until you can see it, you're not entitled to it. So God has made it so that we have to have revelation. So revelation is the channel by which God gives you to access your blessing. Now, where are your blessings? Let's find out where they are. Let's go to Ephesians, please. In Ephesians. Now, listen, if you can't find these scriptures quickly, just look on the board. That's why we got it there. And you can write them down and then go home and study it out yourself. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Hello. Hallelujah. God is good. Are you with me? All right, look what it said in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places where? In Christ. Now, did it say he's going to bless you? No. What did it say? He's already blessed you. So he's already blessed you, and your spiritual blessings are right there in heavenly places. Now, you have to get them. Now, how do you get them? First, you're going to have to read about them in the will. You're going to have to see them somewhere, meaning that you see the reading, or be told, be preached, or whatever have you. And then faith cometh. Now, this faith is coming, bringing forth you begin to see the unseen. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. So the Holy Spirit enables you to be able to see something that other people cannot see. And if you can see what they can't see, you can have what they can't have. So these blessings are for you. They are in an eternal space called the spirit. And that spirit realm is more real than this natural realm. Say more real. That spirit realm is more real than this natural realm. So that they are all up there. Everything you'll ever need according to life and godliness is all up there. And get this, there is no scarcity about it. It's up there in abundance. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, what you have to do is access it. And the way you have to access it, of course, is through the channel of revelation knowledge. Faith actually takes hold of it and bring it into your life. But revelation knowledge supplies the access for faith to work. So now those things are there. The roof on your house, your phone bill, everything. All that's all there. Because what God is doing is totally making it so that every one of your needs have been met. All right. Okay. Now, so we said, what's revealed to you, what's restored to you? So everything in the kingdom is first spiritual. And don't think the spirit is less real. Don't think that, because that's a fallacy. That's wrong. That's error. The spirit is more real. Say more real. All right. Now, if you look at Galatians, that's the next book, the book just before the book of Ephesians, and Galatians chapter 1, we'll see how Paul here, he traded revelation knowledge for sense knowledge. Now, what is sense knowledge? I know I'm reviewing. Some of you know this, but I'm helping to drive it in. Faith comes how? By here. Sense knowledge is knowledge that's gained through my five physical senses. My eyes, ears, nose, hearing, and smell. Okay? That's sense knowledge. However, revelation knowledge is knowledge of the sixth sense. Now, this is a sense outside of that. Now, where is this sense? This sense, Lord have mercy. Can I show you this? Look at, put something right there at Galatians chapter 1. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Hello. Let me know when you get to Luke chapter 16. Say praise the Lord. Look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. You got that? All right, now look at this. I'm doing it again, because you got to get it. Two men, one rich, one a beggar. Rich man fares sumptuously every day, clothed in purple, having to do with royalty or whatever. And he sat on his veranda, I'm making this up myself, sat on his patio drinking mint juleps and martinis. And the other guy was here outside the gate begging, hoping that the rich man would just throw him out something. Now, this situation you got. Now, this man that's begging was sick. Dogs even came and licked his sores. Okay? All right? Now, that has a whole revelation in that. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, all right. But he was immobile, and he was sick, and he was poor. He just, the covenant wasn't working in his life. So he died, and the rich man died. Don't trust it. Where's the justice? So we've got to come in. We've got to come in and get in these cities and change them. Yes. Say amen to that. And I told you, boy, it would be wonderful if we can build a number. Now, this is me now, but we can build just a number of schools in the inner cities. Wouldn't it be nice? Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about schools that are boarding schools. Because they can't live in their neighborhood no more. Because once they say they're not with that gang, they can't stay there anymore. So they come to the boarding school. Now we're taking care of room, board, food, everything. Everything. Come on now. We're going to put them in an environment. And I'm talking about that's just one area. That's just education. Now all of a sudden we're going to turn them around. And see, the thing of it is, people think it's going to take years to turn them around. Not so. Not so. See, once you're dealing with this whole idea of recompense, that it's always got speed to it. That this thing can be turned around overnight. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, is this something that, am I talking crazy or is this something? Listen, folks, let me tell you. I just hate to see when it's possible. I hate to see folks have to suffer like that. It's tough. But it's tough because the enemy has been in control of it. We got to rise up. We have been prophetically called for this hour. Give the Lord a hand. That's all we have. Praise God. All right. We're going to let you go. But before you do, if there's somebody here and you know in your life you're not right with God, I want to pray with you right now. Now, listen, I'm not going to do a whole lot of calling you because you know who you are. If you're ready to turn your life around, it starts with Christ. You got to get to know Him first. If you know Jesus, then everything else can be fixed. So if you're here right now and you know that I'm talking to you, I would like to pray with you right now. If you'd like me to do that and you're ready. But he went into Abraham's bosom, which denotes the fact that he had a relationship with God. So that tells me you can have a relationship with God and die sick, broke, can't walk, so forth. That is not God's plan for you. I said, that is not God's plan for you. Somebody said, well, I got to be sick to die. Who said that? You need to get my series on redeemed from death. So now, here he was, and he went in Abraham's bosom. That's the holding place for anybody who was a believer, but Jesus had not yet come. So they went into Abraham's bosom. He's the father of the faithful. Got it? Now, once they're there, the other man went to hell. The Bible says here, let's look what it says here. It says, verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, where was the rich man and the poor man's bodies? Where were they? They were buried. How deep do you normally bury a body? 6 feet, that's what they tell me. I don't know what they do, but that's what I hear. So both of their bodies were 6 feet under. Now let me ask you, do you think they plucked their eyes out before they buried them? No, it's buried them. But it says here that in hell, this rich man lifted up his eyes. So it tells me that he had eyes that were not the eyes of his body. That there is another body here. And this body is spiritual. We call it the inner man. And this body is there. And not only does this body have eyes, it says, being in torments, meaning that he had feelings, and seeing Abraham afar off, meaning that he had recognition, that means a soul, and he cried, meaning he had emotions, and he said, meaning he could speak, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. That tells me, without your body, you got a finger, and without your body, you got some fingertips. In water and cool my tongue. That tells me his body had a tongue in it, for I am tormented in this flame. So the man had a tongue, he had fingers, he had emotions, he had everything. Everything that your body has right here, it seems like without your body, you still have it. Got it? So your body has five physical senses, but your spirit has five spiritual senses. Got it? And so what I'm saying is that he is saying that when we are mature in Christ, then those spiritual senses can take over, and those spiritual senses don't learn, they discern. Are you following what I'm saying? And when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to your body. He speaks to you, your spirit. Say amen to that. And they that are led by the, come on, Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. So what is God trying to do? Trying to get you to not feel that you're physical having a spiritual experience. He wants you to know that you are spiritual and you're having a physical experience. You're just going through this earth and for a time, and after that, this body is going back to the dust. You're going to get a glorified body, and hallelujah, you're going to be moving again at the speed of thought. So I'm saying there are some good things that happen, but God now is making it so that you can live that way right now, that you can activate your spiritual senses and be able to detect things and see things and smell things and touch things and taste things. Come on, oh, taste and see that the word of the Lord is good. I'm saying these things can happen in your life. So what we're doing now is revelation knowledge. Knowledge that comes directly from God into my spirit, and that is what I'm going to be led by. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. Y'all get that? You know, if you go fishing, the Bible says we walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Come on. The evidence of things what? Not seen. So faith is actually involving something I can't see with the natural eyes, but I can see it with the eyes of the spirit. Say amen to that. And so faith is like that. And you go fishing, you throw that fishing rod out there, you have something that floats on the water. What is that little thing called floats on? What is it called? I'm not a fisherman. Well, you know what it is. You say, all right, bobbing, okay. And so you waiting on that thing to kind of dip, because when it dips, you know what happens. A fish is messing with your bait. Don't you know that? And so what are you going to do at that point? Come on, what are you going to do? You're going to try to pull that thing in. Am I right? And I'm telling you, folks, go out there and pull that thing in and nothing's on that hook. That fish got that thing and ran off. But when you get good at fishing, you don't hardly even need a bob on there. Boy, you can just feel it when something's hitting that hook. Boom, here comes that fish. You give me, say, okay. All right, well, I'll just go back to this. I'm saying your spiritual blessings are all there. All right. Let's see. I tell you what. I need to go ahead, because I've got to. I don't want to be around here that long. Okay. Take your time, right? Because you slept in and now I can take my time, right? Okay. All right. Now, let's go to First Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians again. And chapter, wow. Are y'all getting me?
Yes.
You got spiritual senses.
Yes.
And you can train them to actually be more sensitive. See, when you develop something and see something in the spirit, it can be that the thing in the spirit becomes more real than the physical thing that you have been looking at before. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's what makes you get up and do something that other folk wondering, are you crazy? I mean, why are you going to do that? Because you can see something they can't see. All right, so verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, those are the natural parts of you, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Got it? But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are what? Say it again. When you got born again, your spirit came alive, all right? But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judge of no man. There you go. Now you're judging stuff by your spirit now. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right, say the mind of Christ. All right. The mind of Christ is the same mind that God had to create this earth. That's the same mind. Okay, you have that same mind.
Oh, boy.
All right, I shouldn't have gone off on that. It took too long to go there. But you got it. All right, so revelation is necessary for restoration. That's the part I want you to see. And whatever is revealed to you is what's going to be restored to you. And this revelation is talking about a reality that's beyond your senses, and your spiritual blessings are there. Praise God. All right, let's kick it. Let's go to the next part here. Now, we left off talking about the kingdom of God and how important justice is. Because this idea, let me just say this, because this is the objective of me of mentioning what I did. When God spoke to me about buying the mall, that didn't come through my mind. That came through my spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed it to my mind, but it didn't come by somebody giving me that idea. That came from the Holy Spirit, because this mall was too big for anything that I had ever, you know, thought about before. So that's what he said. When God spoke to me about the starting a Joseph School of Business, that wasn't from me. That was from that was from the Holy Ghost teaching me, showing me. When God said about a bank, that didn't come from me. I didn't know anything about a bank. It took me a year or so to find out about how much money even goes through the church. I think I looked it up, $119 billion in 2002 came through the church. 119 B. And now I started putting it together. I said, now we had our own bank. We could take that money. We wouldn't have to give it to some other bank that they can loan somebody to build a liquor store. We can have that money ourselves. Now, understand, all that's revelation, because the enemy's system, Lord have mercy, as long as you're depending on that system, you cannot receive the light of the kingdom. The more you depend on the world, the less light from the kingdom you receive, the less ideas like that. Now, understand, you got the mind of Christ. So God is going to have it so, I want to talk a little bit about that in just a minute, but God is going to have it so that you're going to get new ideas and witty inventions. Say amen to that. And I'm talking about inventions that are going to astound the world. Now, to do that, you got to stop depending on this. You got to depend on Him. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say amen to that. All right. Okay. So, we talked about vengeance and recompense. Now, justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. Justice is. It is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. And what we said is that Jesus is now advancing the kingdom. He is using you that wherever you go, for you to be able to bring order out of chaos and bring things in line with kingdom jurisdiction. Say amen to that. That Jesus is coming soon. And the closer we get to His return, systems, governments, all these things must come in line with heaven's government. Are you with me? So, justice is a vital part of heaven's government. Justice. Now, we talked about vengeance, and recompense. And over in Hebrews, can you turn there? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. He said this. He said, vengeance is, for we know him that said, vengeance belongeth to who? Me. And I will do what? Recompense, saith the Lord. Now, basically, vengeance has nothing to do with hate and nothing to do with some kind of emotional retaliation. But vengeance is coming from God out of a love of justice. For God to execute something in this earth, he does it through vengeance. And so now, this justice is vital, a vital part of kingdom manifestation. That you are seeing in this earth a lot of injustice. And it has been done for years, in fact. But now Jesus is coming. And we are sent as his forerunners to make sure that there is no injustice in the land. Say amen to this. Now, recompense means to compensate or repay or return an equivalent of anything done or suffered. It means to make amends. It means to pay damages. In other words, when Israel was in Egypt in slavery, God did not want them to be satisfied with just being released. He wanted them to have Pharaoh pay damages for the time that they suffered under bondage. Now understand, this was that time, but now we're in a prophetic time of the church that God says in Psalm 102 and verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Zion symbolizes the church, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now understand, vengeance has nothing to do with resentment or hatred or emotional retaliation, but is necessary for punishing offenders proceeding, and it proceeds from love of justice. So now what we did is we said that we are in the day of God's vengeance. And that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to execute judgment and justice. Let me get this right. His job in these last days is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing will escape him. Now, let's keep going. Let's go now back to Isaiah and chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, the enemy has tried to keep God's people from their destinies. Some have been diverted, some have been delayed, and some have even been denied. In other words, even money-making thoughts have been diverted. Even you've been distracted from, even opportunities have come that you've been distracted from. Even contracts that were supposed to come to you went over to somebody else. Now, I'm saying that there are some things in God's plan that's supposed to happen in your life by now. And these things haven't happened. And because vengeance hasn't been preached, we had still been victims. But now I'm preaching it. And I'm preaching it because the day of vengeance upon the enemies of God's people have come. Now, we're not talking about hate people. That's the thing you gotta see, because it doesn't function outside of love. God is love, but it's a love of justice. Are you with me? And you must see which side you're on, because if you don't desire to see justice for those who have been defrauded, those who have been abused, those things that have happened, then you're still being influenced by the evil one. So God has sent us to do some things. I've got you in Isaiah chapter 61, don't I? Hold something right there and look at Psalm chapter 82. Just glance at it just for a minute, please. Praise God. Psalm chapter 82. Now just sit here and wait till I finish, because I'm starting now. Verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, and he judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. How long are you going to let the wicked go on with that? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice, do justice, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are what? Out of course. I've said you are gods, and all of you are children of who? Of the Most High. Now the enemy is up to things, but he has been using a puppet-driven system to work his work. But now it's time for your release. In other words, it's time now for you to finish what God has placed you here to do. Jesus' return is imminent, and everything that's out of line has got to come back in line. Everything that is contrary to the rules and the justice and the laws of heaven must be brought under subjection. And that is also including injustice. No injustice. Now, look what it says here. Glory to God. Y'all still with me? The spirit of chapter 61 of Isaiah, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build, saying they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed their flock. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. And for your shame you shall have what? Double. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them will acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has what? Has blessed. All right. Now, once again, I'll read part of that out of the Living Bible translation. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to the captives and the opening of the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, and the day of his wrath to their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness, for God has planted them like a strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. And they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities long ago destroyed, reviving them, though they have lain there many generations. Foreigners shall be your servants, and they shall feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. And you shall be called the priest of the Lord, minister of our God. And you shall be fed with the treasures of the nations, and shall glory in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you shall have a double portion of prosperity and everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. Say, I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully reward my people for their sufferings and make an everlasting covenant with them, and their descendants shall be known and honored among the nations. All shall realize that they are the people who the Lord has blessed. Now, before I go on, I want to read just one more verse over in Isaiah and chapter, glory to God. No, I don't want to read that. I'm going to let it go. All right. Now, so here's what is happening, that this is a prophetic time that God now is going to execute vengeance on behalf of his people. Now, the first thing people do is question this, because they say that's not for today. And the reason why they say that's not for today is because they read Luke chapter 4 and starting at verse 18 and 19 and see where Jesus read from this same text. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and set out. He didn't say anything about vengeance. He didn't say anything about comfort. He didn't say anything about that. Now, the reason why is because that was not a part of his ministry. This part of his ministry, that ministry started with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, that started the latter rain. And that started all those portions that you read there, that he's going to comfort, that it's going to be oil of joy, and so forth and so on. So now, what I said to you is that the church is prophetically packaged to lead the world. And understanding vengeance and recompense creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. When you know that the job of the Holy Spirit in these last days is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, which includes he's working on your behalf, and that nothing shall escape him, it gives you a new level of boldness about what God may call you to do. Come on, say with me now, in these last days. Now, justice is one of the main channels through which heaven's economy shall manifest. Now, I'm telling you a whole lot of stuff here. I hope you get this. Now, so whatever is now tampering with your destiny in God, whatever's after your peace, your progress, your career, your business, your children, God is going to command vengeance. Now, it's not out of hatred or anything like that. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 1, please. Now, I'm technically out of time. Do you have a few more minutes? Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Now, this is where Joseph had been raised up, and he was the prime minister of Egypt. Then his people, the Jews, came on down, and they were gotten some of the best land that was there. But now Joseph died. Verse 6, and all his brethren and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was full of them. They took over positions in Egypt. Now there arose a new king of Egypt, which didn't know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more than are mighty than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." So what is he saying? Let us deal wisely. So what did they do now? They started a strategy to strip the Jews of either titles or money or whatever, because the next thing you see in verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters and afflict them of their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities in Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And verse 14, and they made their lives what? Bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So now they took them and made slaves out of them. Now they are crying to God. But God said they're going to be in there 400 years. And then after 400 years, they're going to be released. But when they come out, they're not going to come out empty. In other words, whatever's been owed them is going to be repaid to them. One of the words for recompense is compensation. So whatever, Lord have mercy, y'all with me here. Verse chapter 2 and verse 24. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. All right. Now let's go over to chapter 3 and verse 19. Here's what he said to Moses. I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he's going to let you go. And I will give this people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. So I said that redemption is not complete without divine provision. Stay with me. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in the house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them on your sons, upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. What does spoil mean, somebody? Now, I'm still reading now. This is for you. Look what it says in verse 22. And thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your son. The word there is slay. It means to destroy, to kill. Even that firstborn. Now, God is a God of justice. He's a God of love. He's not a God of a killer. But here is Israel. We're on a prophetic timetable. Let them go, Pharaoh. Because they have a destiny that must be fulfilled. And if you refuse to let them go, eventually somebody is going to be terminated. Listen, stay with me. You say, well, wait a minute. Jesus didn't do that. Let me show you. Turn all the way back to Acts chapter 13. Just turn that with me or look at it on the board. I'm almost done. I'm out of time. I know you ain't got nowhere to go, but you just don't want to hear this. This is more important than anywhere you got to go, because this is your stuff in here. Now, Acts chapter 13. Here is Paul on starting his ministry. And verse 4, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And they, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in their synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was who? Bar-Jesus. Which was with the deputy means governor, of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. Prudent means intelligent and got some sense. Who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now notice this man desires to hear the word, and he's a governor of the whole land. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. He's standing in the way. Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. But Saul, who was what? Called Paul, filled with the who? Holy Ghost. Set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and the darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed and was being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, you never saw Jesus do that. Even when they wanted to call fire down on the whole village, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are. Jesus' ministry wasn't like that. But once the church got born in the earth, the rest of this Isaiah 61 kicked in. And it kicked in because you got a job to do, and the enemy is trying to block you from doing the job that you're going to do. So God is coming in with something called vengeance. And he's coming in not because he hates somebody. He's coming in because he loves justice. And everywhere you go, everything going to have to come back in line with the way it is in heaven. And I'm telling you, it's been out of line. So the number one job of the Holy Spirit in the last days is to execute upon any of the enemies of God's people, is to execute judgment. And nothing shall escape that the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm telling you right now that that's what's been missing in our land. Because when justice is not there, people not only lose hope, but they lose faith. And then they open themselves up to all kinds of evil coming into a land. And I'm telling you right now that justice has not been there. And that is one of the main things that, I'm going to just use a modern day example, Martin Luther King. And that's one of the main things that he preached in his sermons, is he preached about justice. As a matter of fact, come on with this scripture, praise God. He preached from Amos chapter 5 and verse 24, he said, but let judgment or justice run down like waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now, what was he doing? He was saying, wait a minute. He said, there's been injustice in this thing. And folks, I know what that's about because I was brought up in Alabama. When I was brought up, you could not swim in the swimming pool that the whites swim in my town. You could not go to their school. I could not show up in their church because if I did show up in their church, I'd probably be arrested. I'm here to tell you, wait a minute. How can the church be so void of justice? Because the church, now understand, we ain't mad at people because that's what Martin Luther King said. He said, now wait a minute, we're going to do this, but we're going to get a policy called nonviolence. You see, because if you sow seeds to the flesh, you're going to have to reap seeds of the flesh. So you don't have anything to do with it. It's the Lord that's going to get even. It's the Lord that's going to get your stuff back. It's the Lord that's going to get all the recompense that you deserve and bring it back into your hand. Now, this is not just for black folk. This is for every Christian and every believer that's in the family of the living God. I'm saying the devil has stolen from everybody. He has worked you and stolen things from you, and God is saying, now I'm going to return it to you. He is saying, now the days of your struggling are over. He is saying, now you're not going to have to that struggle for anything else. As a matter of fact, anything from now on that's making you uncomfortable, I'm going to remove it. It doesn't make any, I'm talking about this is forever. Say amen to that. We are the redeemed. Say amen to that. Now, I'm saying that some of you got more recompense coming than other folk, but you do have some coming. And I don't know about you, but I got a bunch coming. Now, this is important because Moses couldn't take Pharaoh to court. Now, just hear what I'm saying. I was young. When I was young, you don't go to court because there's no justice in there. When you go to court, when I was young, where I was, you look at the jury and nobody looked like you. You better brace yourself because whether you did it or not, you guilty. My point to you is look at what's happening. Many of the people in this country even, they don't feel that there's any justice in the system. Why do you think rappers are making records about cop killing? Because they don't feel nobody's defending them. You better hear what I'm telling you now. That this gangster rap and all of this, they want to take it over themselves. They want to be their own judgment. You ain't listening to me. I'm talking to you right now. I'm saying right now that the deal is now you don't have to depend on the police. You don't have to depend on Pawpaw no more. You can go to the court of heaven. God is the judge. Say amen to that. And people are not your problem. They're just puppets being used by the puppet master. And what you and me gonna do is we gonna take the puppet master before God. Say amen to that. And the puppet master is the one that's holding your stuff. Because if you go after people, the puppet master will just take it from him and give it to her. He just switch it all around. But he can't switch it when you go after him. When you go after him, you will spoil his house. He's got to give up every contract that's supposed to come to you, every invention that was yours, every orphanage you were supposed to build, every school, every business, every invention, he's got to give it up. Stuff is about to come to you that you're going to say, my God, my God, my God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It's time for restoration. We ain't mad at people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. These brothers and sisters, every one of them are our brothers and sisters. You can't get mad at people. People are not your problem. It's the devil that's a thief. He comes to steal, come on, to kill, and to destroy. Doesn't make any difference. That court system, I'm looking at what they're doing now. All of a sudden, they tell me they have just taken In God We Trust off the $100 bill. Then I hear that now they are trying to say that the National Day of Prayer is not legal. Folks, that is injustice. And we not going to sit here and just praise the Lord. No, it's time for vengeance and recompense. Say amen to that. And look at all the poor that need to be fed. I'm talking about the injustice in the nations. It's systemic poverty that's got them. Systemic poverty means that you can get food, but the distribution won't let it get to them. That's what they were having in Haiti. They were shipping plenty of food down there, but somebody was holding it, and somebody was causing it not to get to the people. Well, what happens with poverty? Poverty is just not eating, folks. Poverty is just not having money. Poverty, if you don't eat enough, eat right foods and so forth, it begins to affect your whole system. Children who are malnourished and starving will not even go out and play. They will sit there and look at you with hungry eyes. They can't even have any joy. I'm saying many of the mothers who are in poverty can't even breastfeed their children. And you should see 25,000 people are dying in a day off of poverty. They don't have enough to eat. Now, at the same time, we are paying farmers not to grow. Something's wrong with that system. Well, one thing we need is we need some new leaders there. We need some people that are not trying to, come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Say amen to this. That's the injustice. And God is a God of justice. He's saying, I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with people dying because they can't eat and plenty of food is in this earth. I'm fed up with people who are trying to take advantage of other people and to make more and more money just to sit on top of it. Vengeance is coming now. He is saying, you either gonna let it go or you gonna be terminated. Now give the Lord a hand. That's where we're going. I said, that's where we're going.